Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, Hebrews chapter 3. But first we will sing from Psalter number 65, the first two stanzas, Grace and Truth Shall Mark the Way, where the Lord His own will lead, if His word they still obey, and His testimonies heed. 1 and 2 of Psalter 65.
Read the law of God first. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Auerkirk, who was brought to the Bethesda Care Home in this past week. Also, Mr. Conrad Van Heerden suffered a minor heart attack in this past week and is in the hospital in Clairsholm. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard in this morning already out of thy holy word, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And thou knowest each and every one of us. For we look not to today, but we look always to tomorrow. That we are expecting tomorrow, and next week, and next month, and next year. Though even we have become so very old, and even though that we have sinned against thee, and that we do not deserve even this day. And thou sayest today, O give unto us, then a holy, a solemn impression, a true impression, worked by thy Holy Spirit, of the shortness of our life, of the seriousness of our life, that we look not only upon all that transpires in this world, but that we may have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, that we are travelers, that we are upon a broad way by nature, and that we travel to our eternal destruction, if that we should die even as we are born, if there would be no change in our life by the power of thy most Holy Spirit, then with all our religion, with all the lessons, with all the instruction, with all the preaching, with all the blessings, with all the callings, with all the warnings, then we go to our eternal destruction. O Lord, thou sayest, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, we ask of thee, thou God of heaven and of earth, thou God of the creation, but also of the redemption. Oh, that thou would give unto each and every one of us that which we cannot give unto ourselves, even in this Sabbath day. Oh, thou hast given unto us the means, thou hast given unto us thy Sabbath. Thou hast given unto us thy word, and thou givest us outwardly a desire, or maybe even only a custom, that we come up to thy house in this morning. All these blessings, Lord, thou givest unto us. We send them away moment by moment, but wilt thou also then, as seeing thy great goodness over us, even to this very moment, oh, could it please thee also, Lord, to grant us that power that we cannot miss for from our side. Then we shall go lost with thy blessings from our side. Then it shall only increase our judgment. From our side it will only be a savor of death unto death, that our stripes may be many, and that for with a baptized forehead and with a conscience that is aware of our iniquity, oh, then we shall burn everlastingly. Oh, Lord, could it please thee then to deliver us from the grip of the prince of darkness, oh, the power of death, into which our deep fall has brought us, so that we are so dead that we cannot move one limb, so that we cannot change the deadness of our hearts, so we cannot give unto ourselves one true desire, not one true longing for the true and the living God. Or as we go over this world, seeking all that is perishing, oh, then we are so, so very foolish. But we cannot give ourselves one ray of light in that absolute darkness into which we have brought ourselves. We cannot give ourselves the least wisdom in all the foolishness that lives in our hearts. Oh, Lord, open it unto us. Oh, take of thy word in this morning hour and apply it. by thy most holy and blessed Spirit. O thy dear Son, he has come into this world to pay the price for sin. Oh, he has said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart, and he has finished it perfectly. An active obedience, a passive obedience, that a redemption, a full and free salvation may be proclaimed by thy servants as thou hast commanded even unto the ends of the world. But now, O Lord, we are indeed so dependent further upon the working of thy Holy Spirit to bless that word, to bring in our hearts the seriousness of our life, the depth of our fall, to make us to smite upon our breast and to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O thou who will have dealings with thy people, who does burden them sometimes with so many afflictions in this life and in their soul, so that they may be stayed from all their sin. Thy hand has made my burden great and thwarted my desire. O Lord, that is the acknowledgement of thy children, that thou hast put away that desire of all the flesh by all the burdens that thou hast laid upon them in this life. O thou wilt keep them from following after all the sinful ways of their hearts. O blessed Lord, are thy dealings with thy children. And then they cannot see it so often in this life. But thou wilt give that they may acknowledge thee by moments. And then in that great eternity, they shall praise thy great and thy glorious name. For they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. O Lord, remember thy church this day. All then we cannot know what does live within the hearts of each and every one. But thou who knowest the inmost hearts and all the thoughts and upon the beds also in the night season, all could it please thee to remember the afflicted and the poor. Thou sayest that I will not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. Oh, look on them, Lord. Wilt thou give a little opening where there is no opening, no opening at thy throne of grace, perhaps, for the people in our midst in this day? All may be no opening in thy holy word, that they cannot enter into the mysteries, that they may believe that are contained therein. Oh, that they cannot grab hold of the blessings. Oh, Lord, they need them to be applied. Oh, they need that thy Spirit may speak unto their soul. Oh, we ask it of thee for them, Lord, in this morning hour as thy church. Oh, could it please thee to remember all those that have a heavy burden, that are afflicted with their transgressions. Their transgressions they confess, grief and guilt their souls oppress. Oh, Lord, could it be that such are in our midst, and that in this morning they cry to thee and they say, Lord, I do not know the way. Oh, show it unto me, a little ray of light from heaven above. Could it please thee to deal so with us, that we may feel that thine arms are underneath in the preaching, but also that thou bringest it somewhere here and there in our midst, where thou hast plowed up the fallow ground, where thou hast made place for the seed of thy word to fall and to bring forth fruit. O Lord, remember us when we go on our journey without a care, without a concern, all the vanity of the world living also in our hearts, a form of religion denying the power thereof. O Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. All that we may say in this morning, we cannot break one heart. We cannot convince one soul. Or we cannot draw one person, not the oldest one, not the youngest one. Lord, thou didst speak with a still, small voice. And when thou didst speak, and thy servant did hear, and he wrapped his face in his mantle. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, one word in this morning hour for one sinner, that the glory of God this day may be majestically praised around thy throne. When the angels, they shall rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Remember the afflicted and all those that are needy. Him that lies in the hospital this day. Thou knowest all that is in his body. Lord, could it please thee to heal him and to remember him, to visit him. Could it please thee to give unto him what is necessary for his soul as he travels to that great eternity, that he may be brought up again to thy house of prayer. And then may it be with an acknowledging heart, but also a humbled heart, a repenting heart. Do remember her that was brought unto the care home. Lord, thou knowest all her life, what is necessary for her mind, what is necessary for her body. We ask of thee, thy presence, thy nearness, thy help every day, and that thou may bless her also in that place where she is. Others also may be with her. Thou knowest what it is for them to be brought unto this home, then it is a blessing, but then it is also a message, for that is a place that is so often our last place here upon this earth. And then we go to our long home. Oh, could it please thee then to remember those that may be there, and all those that are cared for by others, supply for all that care for them also. Remember those that hope to be united in that bond of holy matrimony. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou may look upon them in the days of their youth, or when they are bound together. Oh, may it be a binding truly till death doth them part, and that thou may give unto them the blessings of heaven above that they stand in need of for this life and for that great eternity. Wilt thou thyself watch over thy institution of holy matrimony in this world, in the denomination, in the churches? And wilt thou look upon us in this morning? Lord, help us. Give us strength. Give us ability. Give us what is necessary in the body. Give us what is necessary in the mind. Give us clarity. Oh, give us to be able in simplicity to lay out thy word for an understanding of each and every one, that we may know what our calling is, that we may know what our duty is, that we may know what the power of God is for a miserable and for a wretched sinner. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 213, stanzas 4, 7, 13, and 15. The story be told to warn and restrain of hearts that were hard, rebellious, and vain, of soldiers who faltered when battle was near, who kept not God's covenant, nor walked in his fear. Several announcements. Clinton, John Rosendahl, and Shalina Faye Van Driesten hope to be united in holy matrimony on September 21st at 10 o'clock a.m. in a service led by Reverend P. L. Bazin. Any lawful objections to this marriage must be brought to the attention of the consistory by September the 10th. This is the second announcement. We announce also that, the Lord willing, Reverend Adams hopes to be in our midst next week, Sunday afternoon. Anyone wishing to join the Confession of Faith class, please contact me early this week. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. Psalter 213, 4, 7, 13, and 15. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us therefore fear. Why? Because the apostle says that we have an example. We have an example that has gone before us. And for that reason, we must give an account also of the happenings that have gone before us and that have been for us a calling, that have been for us a warning in this life, but also out of God's holy word. Therefore, he says, let us therefore fear, let us therefore use with diligence the means of grace. What is that example? That is Israel as a nation. 1500 years, the people of the Lord, and for us an example, a type of that visible church. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into what? His rest. His rest. What is that? That was for them Canaan. But we have heard more, because the apostle, he says, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. There remaineth a rest. That is then not just that land of Canaan, nor is that only that heavenly rest as we have heard, but it is that rest that is to be entered into already in this life. That is the very beginning of that rest, that we may know something of a taste of that rest in the only begotten Son of God. Oh, the rest that is in justification, that is in the forgiveness, boys and girls, young people, in the forgiveness of all our sin. Oh, do you also already in your young life, do you already say, oh, that I could have a little rest in my conscience from that which is disturbing me day after day, or a little rest in my heart? Is there then a people that long for this rest? Oh, are you weary with unrest? Is the warfare with sin that which wearies you? The Apostle Paul, he says, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, he was weary with that life of sin. Are there also those in our midst that to say, how now? How is it possible that I also may enter into that rest? This, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider in this morning out of the Word of God, which has been read to you, Hebrews chapter 3, the last verse, verse 19. So, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So far, the words of our text. Unbelief declared to be the cause of not entering into God's rest. First, the provided example. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Second, the intended application. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief declared to be the cause of not entering into God's rest. First, the provided example. Second, the intended application. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They could not enter in. It does not say that they did not enter in, but it says they could not. It is true that they did not. And that is also declared by the apostle because he says that they never reached it. He says that their carcasses, they fell in the wilderness. But here it says more. It says not only did they not, but they could not. That means they had no ability. That means they had no power to enter in. That is significant. And why is that significant? Because they had a promise of entering in. And whose promise was that, boys and girls? You say that was the promise of the Lord. The promise of the Lord. That was the promise of Jehovah. That was the promise of the covenant-keeping God. That was the promise of God unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob. And yet, they could not enter in. That is significant. Why? Because they did not need their own power to enter in. Because they did not need to enter in by their own strength. The Lord said that He would send a hornet before them. That He Himself would go before them. And they were to look for that power that the Lord had already bestowed upon them and for their good. He said that they were to look to that power that they have seen when they were in that land of Egypt, Deuteronomy 7. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send a hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little, and thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. That was the promise of the Lord. That He Himself would do it. That they did not have to do it. And yet with all this, we read that they could not enter in. That they had no ability, that they had no power to enter in. They tried. Yes, they mourned greatly. And when they heard that they had to turn back, and not only so, but then they got up early, we read. They rose up early, and then they said, we will go. And they went against the Amalekites, but they were defeated. Why? Oh, they could not enter in. What does that mean? That means they lost their permission to enter in. They lost their right to enter in. The Lord says, I will not help you anymore. How is that possible? How is that possible that the people, they can lose their right to the fulfillment of the promise of God? They had a certain right. What was that right? Well, they were whose children, boys and girls? They were the children of Abraham. And the Lord had made a promise to Abraham concerning not only himself, but also concerning his seed. And they were now the seed of Abraham. Thus, they had a certain right. And that right that was from the Lord himself. However, we know that the Pharisees and the scribes, they have gloried in that right. And they have gone to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist spake to them. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Though ye be children of Abraham. They would lose their right. We find that also in Deuteronomy 7, in the 12th verse. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken unto these judgments, and keep and do them. Thus, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. Thus, the promise of the Lord that is declared. But that promise of the Lord is not declared without a condition. That condition is that the people, they were called by the Lord to hearken. They had to hearken to his judgments. They had to hearken to his statutes. That was the condition of obedience. And when they would follow in that way of the Lord, then the Lord would fulfill to them also the promise that he has made unto Abraham. Could they keep that? Could they keep the judgments of the Lord? Could they keep the statutes of the Lord? Oh no. Congregation that is so high, that standard that is a standard of perfection. God is holy. The least sin that is deserving of an everlasting destruction. No, far from it. They could not keep it. Only the Lord could keep them. Only the Lord could give them strength. Only the Lord could forgive all their shortcomings. And even if they could keep it, would that then be the cause that they enter in? Oh, you say no. Certainly not. No, the cause is in the Lord. The cause is in God Himself. He is the designer, and He is also the fulfiller. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. No, they could not keep that condition. Nor would that condition be the cause that they enter in. And yet, that promise that is not given unto the children of Israel without that condition. And by that condition, the Lord, He as it were frees Himself from fulfilling unto them that covenant. When they will not obey. And He declares unto them that they themselves, they will be the cause of not entering in. Thus, obedience. That is not only an external obedience. No, but there is also more. There is an internal obedience. Because, we read it, if thou shalt say in thine heart, that is not just in our life, if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them, if thou wilt be afraid? He says, thou shalt not be afraid. Later on again, thou shalt not be afraid at them. Why not? For the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Thus, what is now that condition? That is not merely an external obedience. No, but that has to do with faith. With faith. The Lord says, thou shalt not be afraid. Why not? Because thou shalt honor me. Thou shalt honor me. Thou shalt see that I am and believe that I am more than all those enemies. Thou shalt esteem me greater and higher in my being, in my attributes, in my works, greater and mightier in power than all of that enemy. That my might is greater, that my ability is greater. Thou shalt esteem me in my faithfulness, that I will do, that I am God, that I will do according as I have said it, that there is not one word that is able to go out of my mouth that shall not be fulfilled. Thus, that requirement, that condition, that had to do with an inward obedience, then it goes without saying that those who rebel against that promise, those who do not even regard the power of that promiser, and so in their heart they are filled with unbelief, then it goes without saying that that people, they lose the right to the fulfillment of His promise. So we see, Paul says, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Oh, congregation, that unbelief, that awful, that wretched unbelief, that was the cause, the foundation of all the disobedience of the children of Israel for 40 years. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? 40 years. You say disobedience. Yes, what did they do? They fell down before that calf at Horeb. Why? Why? What was at the heart of that sin? We want not what has become of Moses. I thought he was dead. They had to wait so long for that promised land. They are weary of that waiting. It is nothing less than a wretched, wretched unbelief in their heart. And the Lord, his anger, we read, waxed hot against them. Moses interceded for them. But we read, therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angels shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. The Lord, he says concerning that sin, he says, I will now send mine angel with you, but I reserve to me the right to chastise, to punish my people because of their sin. The Jews, they have a saying that says that no trouble befalleth the people of Israel when there is not in it an ounce of a golden calf. Oh, that wretched, wretched unbelief, even in the beginning of the way. What was congregation at the heart of all the murmurings of the children of Israel? When they murmured because they had not food and they had not drink, what was at the heart of it? Oh, it is that wretched unbelief. What was at the heart of all their murmurings against the people of the Lord, against Moses, against Aaron, his chosen? It is that wretched unbelief. Hast thou brought us out of Egypt that thou mayest slay us here in the wilderness? What was at the heart of all their disobedience in following after the customs of the heathen, of the Midianites, of the Moabites, in worshipping Baal Peor, in giving sacrifices to the dead, in all their uncleanness? All at the heart of it, that is that wretched unbelief. What was it? What was the reason that Moses may not bring the children of Israel into that land of Canaan? You say, he smote that rock. Yes. What was he supposed to do, children? He was supposed to speak to it. To speak to it. And now what does the Lord say? He says, Moses, not because you smote the rock, that was the deed, but because ye believed me not. Ye believed me not that water would come out of that rock only by saying one word. You believed me not. To sanctify me, to glorify me in the eyes of all the children of Israel, because you believed me not, you shall not bring this congregation into that land which I have given them. Oh, that wretched, wretched unbelief. What was at the heart of that sin of the children of Israel when they would enter into that land of Canaan? And they are standing there at the border, and all the congregation lifted up their voice. and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? They said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Oh, what was it? They feared. There are giants. It was an evil report. And they did not believe that the Lord, He could bring them into that land of Canaan. Oh, that wretched, wretched unbelief. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Paul does not say they could not enter in because of their disobedience. He says it is because of their unbelief. That is the chief sin. That is the foundation sin. That is at the heart of their disobedience. They did not believe the promise. And therefore they do not obey the command. The command of the Lord was to go up to possess the land. They would not go up to possess the land because they did not believe that the Lord could give unto them that land. They believed not, and therefore they obeyed not. And because of that unbelief, they could not. They could not. They could not enter in. They lost their right. The Lord was angry with His people. They failed to sanctify Him. And now what did He do? He swore in His wrath. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. And to whom swear He that they should not enter into His rest? But to them that believe not. O congregation, where do we read it in the Bible that the Lord's wrath is so against a people for their sin, but for this wretched, wretched unbelief? The Lord, He was so good to that people. Oh, what reason did that people have not to believe that the Lord could and would bring them through? He delivered them from the Egyptians. He delivered them from that land of bondage. He showed His great, His mighty power in the creation. He brought the hail. He brought the lightning. He brought the thunder. He brought the pestilences. And He slew all the firstborn of that enemy. Oh, He divided the sea for that people. He brought them through on dry land. They saw all their enemies dead upon the seashore. What did He do? He rained for them bread from heaven. Bread from heaven. And the water from the rock that followed them. Oh, a pillar of cloud by day that was with them every day against the heat of the sun. The pillar of fire by night to lead that people in the right way when they did not know the way. To put away all the enemies, to put away all of the dangers. He forgave their sins. Oh, how long suffering has the Lord not shown Himself to be to that people? Oh, He has encouraged them. He has encouraged them with His promise. He gave them also that faithful Joshua. He gave them faithful Caleb. When those evil reports did come, and then what did they say? In Numbers 14, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. A true, a right, an honest, a faithful testimony. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? They believe me. For all the signs which I've shown among them, so I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. But congregation, how about us? Let us sing first. 257, 3 and 4. Let all the peoples of the earth give glory to the Lord. Give him the glory due his name, and strength to him accord. With offerings come ye to his courts, in holy beauty bow. Let all the earth with reverence come and serve Jehovah now. 3 and 4 of 257. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So we see. We see that they could not enter in unto the literal Canaan, God's rest, the type. But the Apostle Paul, he says there is a rest that remaineth unto the children of God. Oh, that is a rest from sin, from sin. That is a rest from the curse that is due to sin. That is a rest from the power and from the dominion of sin. Oh, what a blessed rest. That is a rest that is to be enjoyed eternally, yes. But that is a rest that is entered into in this life. In this life. And if we never enter into it in this life, and we never have a little taste of what that true rest is, then congregation, then we will come short for the perfection of that rest to all eternity. Thus are there now a people in our midst that long to enter in to that rest, to God's rest, that say, how now can I enter in unto that rest? Congregation, we fear that most of you, you have no desire for that rest. You have no need for that rest. No, you lie in a state of unbelief. And so dying in that same state in which you have been born, you shall not enter in because of your unbelief. What do you not believe? You do not believe the Word of God. You do not believe the divine testimony of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. You believe many things in this life. You believe the things that you can see. You believe the things that you can rationalize. But you do not believe a testimony. You do not believe the testimony of God. You do not believe how evil that sin is in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. You do not believe that. And therefore, you go on in the way of sin. You do not believe that God is just and that every sin is going to receive its just recompense, its reward. You do not believe that. And so dying in that state of unbelief, in the same way that you were born, you will not enter in because of unbelief. You do not believe that God is almighty. You do not believe that God is faithful, and that the threatenings that he has spoken against sin and sinners in his holy word, that he is actually going to fulfill. But you scoff with the scoffers in the last days that say, where is the promise of his coming? For all things continue as they were from the beginning. Do not believe it. And so dying in the way that you were born, you will not enter in because of unbelief. You do not believe that God is your benefactor, that he gives you in his goodness every gift that you receive. You do not believe it. And therefore, your heart is not broken because of your sin against such a good-doing God. And so dying in that state that you were born, you shall not enter in because of unbelief. You say, I cannot work it in myself. No. Faith, that is a gift of God. Oh, yes, it is a gift of God. Do you ask him for it because you do not believe? All that faith that is given when children, that is given in regeneration. The woman of Samaria, she believed when he told her all things whatsoever that she did. Gift of God. But let us remember that even though that is the gift of God, it remains our responsibility. Because on that day of days, then the Lord will not say unto us that you may not enter in because I gave you no gift. But he will say you may not enter in because of your unbelief. O congregation, God's word is true. It is the word of God. It is a divine testimony. It is not the word of man. And everyone that does hear that word has that calling, that responsibility to believe the things which are written in that holy word. There is not only threat because of sin, but there is also another side, and that is a promise. There is a threat and a promise. There is that which ought to drive us, and there is also that which ought to draw us. And we have to give an account for both of these. What does Paul say? He says, for unto us was the gospel preached. Oh, what a great privilege. As well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Thus, the apostle says, you have heard his threatenings. He says, you have heard what ought to draw you, but you do not believe. You do not believe that the things that are proposed to you in the gospel are good things. You do not believe that they are profitable things. You do not believe that they are desirable things. And when we speak to you about that rest that remaineth unto the people of God, you do not believe that that is good and desirable. You believe that the world is more desirable. You believe that the pleasures of the world, they are above that rest that remaineth unto the people of God. Thus, there is nothing in there that draws you. When we speak about the communion with God, and that it is possible that a man may receive in this life, and then there is nothing in that which is drawing your heart. You do not believe that you need a Savior. You do not believe that you need a mediator. You see no form, you see no comeliness in Him. There is no beauty in Him in your eyes that you should desire Him. There is nothing precious in the promise to you. Nothing precious in that promise to a wicked sinner. Why not? Because you do not believe you are a wicked sinner. And you do not believe that the things that are promised even to a wicked sinner are desirable anyway. The Lord Jesus says, He says, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He hath sent. That is life eternal. That is desirable, to know Him and His Son. But you do not believe it. And because you do not believe it, you refuse to seek for it in order that you may find it. And you refuse to ask for it that you may receive it. And you refuse to knock for it that it may be opened unto you. And so dying in that state of unbelief, the way that we were born, you shall not enter in because of unbelief. Will God be righteous? Is He not righteous to refuse an entrance into His rest to all those who so wickedly despise Him? Is He not so good to call you, to declare it unto you, to give you warnings, to plead with you? Is He not so good? Is there anything that is so awful as wretched unbelief? Is it not just that God should swear in His wrath to such people that they should not enter into His rest? But congregation, are there not still those? Are there not still those that indeed do long for that rest? Oh, that long for that rest that remaineth unto the people of God. Oh, there are those. They are brought out of that state of unbelief. And they are brought into that state of faith. Why? Because of themselves? No. But you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And since that day, you had no rest, no rest. Sin grieves you. And when sin does not grieve you, then it grieves you that sin does not grieve you as it ought to. And so you have no rest. You labor. You labor for what? Oh, you labor to take away that separation. Oh, that separation, because my soul that longeth, oh, that panteth for the living God. And you labor because you say it is sin that is now standing always in the way. Oh, could I have a word from Him? and it comes not. And you say, it is my sin that stands now in between. And you labor to be rid of it. And you cannot get there. Oh, what did Paul say? He says, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. And then you fear. You fear. Why? Because you say, oh, I'm afraid that I'm going to come short. And you hear of that rest. You hear of that rest. God's people, they may speak of it sometimes. That rest that remaineth unto the people of God. And then you are so jealous. And you say, oh, if only that I may have a little taste for the first time of that rest. Do you know what Paul says? Says it in chapter 4. He says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. That is the only way that it can be received. Do you know why? That you have not yet experienced that rest? It is because of that wretched unbelief. Unbelief. What is it that you do not believe? You do not believe the divine testimony. You do not believe the word of God. Yes, you believe. You believe that the Lord will condemn because of sin. Yes, that you believe. But are not the promises of God, are they not just as true as his threatenings? You believe it is too high for you, so that you cannot attain to it. You believe that it is for others. You believe it is for people who are not so wicked as you are. You believe it is for people that keep that law. You believe that it is for those that are more righteous, for those who live closer unto the Lord. You believe that it is for those who are not so hypocritical. You believe that you have to make something different in yourself in order to receive it. You believe that first you must become better, that you must give an offering unto the Lord. You are so Roman Catholic. And they believe first in sanctification before justification. But do you not believe? You do not believe the divine testimony. You do not believe what John the Baptist has declared. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You do not believe that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Oh, you do not believe him himself when he says, go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You do not believe him. when he says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When he says, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know what the apostle says? He says, I stand in fear of you. You stand at a critical juncture. Our fathers have said it can still go two ways yet with you. Pliable came out of the city of destruction, but he never entered in. His conviction was not true. His faith was not true. How could we know that? How do we know it? We know it because he never entered in at the wicked gate. Yes, it is so necessary that we believe God, his law, his righteousness, his justice. Never is a man saved without that faith. Neither is a congregation sufficient. We still don't know in you if that is a true faith or if that is just a natural faith. Why don't we know that? Because Christ, he says, all that the Father giveth unto me shall come to me. Then we may know it. Then we may know it. Oh, they shall come. They shall come. They shall come and they shall believe. When he will reveal himself, when he will show himself, because he says, that is his promise, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Then they experience in that moment, what it is to believe. And then they enter a little bit into that rest. Then they may have a taste of that rest. Then they are spoiled for the world. And through all that they will be brought through, the Lord will keep them so that forever and forever they will receive the perfection of that rest. O congregation, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into that rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Paul, he says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any of you should fall after that same example of unbelief. Oh, wretched unbelief. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou alone can take it away from us. Thou alone can give unto us that gift. O give us, each and every one, to take thy word home with us, to lay it before thee in our own inner chamber. all the impossibility from our sight, and yet the great responsibility, for it will be our own fault. It is our own Father that has fallen. Oh, we follow so in His steps. Lord, convert us, forgive all our sins. Look on us in the rest of this day. Give much thought and meditation and the searching of Thy holy truth. Sanctify and bless it to young and old. Bring us with desire in Thy house and give help to him that will go before us in this afternoon. Bless Thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 283 and 4. Yea, the Lord is full of mercy and compassion for distress, slow to anger, and abundant in his grace and tenderness. And what follows in 3 and 4 of Psalter 280. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.